May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028. through two chapters this evening, Isaiah 53 and Matthew 28. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before our shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for seed, for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, we would seek for grace to bow before thee. Thou who art the sovereign ruler of the skies, and art ever gracious and ever wise. O Lord, as thou hast favoured us once more to gather on thy holy day, we pray that we may be as dear John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And may thy Spirit, dear Lord, rule our spirit, and may we have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. We would seek to humbly fall at thy dear feet and plead for thy divine help and divine aid at this evening hour. We would pray as those that journeyed to Emmaus, that thou wouldst abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Lord, may we be favoured like they were, for thou didst go in and abide with them. As we venture, Lord, to the throne of thy grace, we would come pleading that precious name of Jesus, his precious sin atoning blood, his glorious merits, his righteousness. We seek, dear Lord, that we might have thy ear, that thou would hear and answer the prayers that go forth, whether they be in secret or in public, and that we may have those sweet answers of peace sent down, which only thou canst give. Lord, we come just as we are before thee, as a poor, needy sinner, needing thy mercy, needing thee to give us that broken heart and contrite spirit. And oh, that thou wouldst wash us and cleanse us from all our sin and all uncleanness. May we be amongst those that are washed in the precious blood of Jesus. And knowest, O Lord, how we need that cleansing, how we need thee, as dear David did when he prayed, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." O Lord, may it please thee to seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul gathered this evening. And O Lord, may it please thee to reveal thyself to us as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus. And may our fervent prayer be, "Jesus, reveal thyself to me." Oh, that thou wouldst manifest thyself to us as thou dost not unto the world. O Lord, may thy word be applied with divine power. Oh, do bless that which we have read together. May we know the sacred realities thou hast far found in it. May we have that real religion thou dost give to thy people. We may be amongst those that are truly taught of the Lord. And oh, may we have a real hunger, Lord, and thirst for thee and for thy truth. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to soften our hearts and make us to feel, Lord, our nothingness, our emptiness, our worthlessness, and the great need of thee and thy salvation. O Lord, do quicken us into life if thou hast not already. Oh, do make us real, Lord. Make us right. Teach us all that we need to know. Oh, may we be amongst those that are taught of the Lord, that learn wisdom's lessons well. And, O Lord, thou knowest our foolishness, our ignorance, and how we need that heavenly teaching continually. For none teacheth like thee. And O Lord, we pray thou wilt guide us and direct us in all the untrodden steps of life's journey. We need thee, Lord, to continually keep us. Oh, do keep us from sinning, keep us from grieving thee. Keep us, Lord, near thy wounded side, and keep us at thy feet. May we be amongst those that live, as dear John of old, very close to thee. We would pray with the hymn writer, "Nearer, nearer to him clinging," and may that be our fervent desire. Oh, do prepare us, Lord, for thy will. We know not what a moment or an hour will bring forth. And oh, that we may be prepared, waiting for thy coming. And that thou wilt prepare us for the great day of death and our departing from this earth. And may we be ready. and have on thee wedding garment, waiting for thy coming. We would pray with the dear hymn writer, and may it be our fervent prayer every day, or every hour, Lord, prepare me, a gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. And O Lord, we do need thee to give us more and more grace. Oh, how we need that grace to endure to the end, grace to hold on our way. And may we have that eye of faith given to look alone to the dear Redeemer, that faith to believe thou wilt sweetly fulfill thy sweet promises. And oh, do help us to trust thee where we cannot trace thee. We commit to thee thy dear people. Lord, thou knowest each saint's peculiar case. If there are any that know thee not, Lord, do begin from this good hour thy work. Oh, that thou wouldst quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. And Lord, how we need continually that quickening. How soon we become dead and cold and lifeless. And oh, we pray that we might be lively characters in the vital things of God, amongst those living stones, Lord. And we would pray for those that walk in darksome paths and the way seems mysterious, that thou would appear for them and make bare thine arm. And Lord, do come and turn the darkness into light, make the rough places plain and the darkness light. And Lord, those that are troubled and tempted and tried, we pray thou would make bare thine arm and appear for them, and work in them, and for them too, and guide them safe, and bring them through. And Lord, do remember all those in deep need, both in their souls, in their pathways, in all that concerns them. And may they have that sweet assurance that thou wilt supply their every need. And help them, Lord, and help us each to draw from that blessed fullness that there is in the Lord Jesus, and that ever abides to answer our need. And oh, do remember those, Lord, in affliction's pathway. Do help them, Lord, to bear the affliction, and grant them patience, Lord, and grace to wait thy healing hand and thy appearing. And oh, may it please thee to sanctify all the afflictions and troubles of thy people to them, that they may be profited and benefited by them, and that thy name may be glorified. We remember the dear children, the dear young people. We pray thou would abundantly bless them in their early days. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Nor we pray there may be those here that thou art work in them, thy grace, thy fear, while in early days, that they may follow on to know the Lord. Lord, who raise up yet a seed to serve thee, and a generation to call thee, the Redeemer blessed. Who keep them each from this world, Lord, and all its snares and dangers, and all the subtle works of Satan. And who keep them close to thee and to thy people, and to thy truth. And may they ask for the old paths, and walk therein and grow. And hear the prayers, Lord, that are put up by the dear parents for them. And may they have those sweet answers sent down from heaven. And oh, may thy promise be sweetly fulfilled, Lord, in each of the families here. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. And O Lord, do remember all those that feel to be at the ends of the earth, and grant that faith to look again toward thy holy temple. And we would pray, Lord, for the deacons, that thou would bless them and bless the hymns they give out. And oh, may they be guided, directed, and helped by thee. And may the hymns they give out be made a blessing both to their souls and to each that sing them. To add to the church precious souls yet, if it would please thee. May thy Holy Spirit be poured out here and upon our own flock, and throughout Zion, and we plead thy precious promise, for thou didst say, I will work, and who shall let it? And oh, may thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And do bless the ministry of thy servants as they labour here and throughout Zion. And may there be real fruit following the preaching of the word. Lord, there are many discouragements, but oh, may there be those sweet encouragements from thyself, that thy servants labour not in vain, or spend their strength for naught. Who remembers Zion at large, we pray for thee to work throughout the churches. There may be yet a gracious reviving, a blessed building up. Remember the nation, Lord, in all its wickedness and sin. We beg of thee to work in our leaders and rulers, if it would please thee. Oh, that thou wouldst yet raise up men of grace and heavenly wisdom to rule our land. And may we from our queen downwards yet be brought to turn to the Lord and to seek his face and to see thy appearing, Lord. Oh, we need thee so much, and we beg of thee to appear for all that are oppressed and persecuted and those that are in extreme situations, Lord, throughout the earth. Remember all thy dear people, where'er they be. Now, O Lord, we would not multiply words. We pray for that anointing from heaven, that we may be this night the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. And may that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. Who grant us that help tonight, Lord, and help us to lean hard upon thee, for without thee we can do nothing. Nor do help the dear friends to hear, and to hear for eternity, and hear to profit. Empty, send us not away. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, all our many, many sins, Lord. Who wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. We would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake.
Hymn number 9. Awake, my soul, in joyful lays, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me, his loving kindness, oh how free. Hymn number 9.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the prophecy of Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. The prophecy of Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. The prophecy of Hosea chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. What a wonderful mercy it is the Lord gives to his dear people, a grain of living faith. Because as these dear souls in Hosea's day sought to return unto the Lord, he gave them that faith to look to the dear Redeemer who alone could bring them through. And what does he say? For he hath torn and he will heal us. You see, they had that living faith to believe that he who had torn them would heal them. And only he could. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now we looked a little in conclusion this morning. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Why did the Lord tear them? Why did he smite them? Was it not to cause them to return? These were part of the means in the Lord's hand to cause them to return. You see, everything is in his hand, and he will use whatever he pleases to cause his dear people to return unto him when they have wandered, when they've backslidden. And so he was pleased in his love and in his mercy to tear them, for he hath torn, he hath smitten. This was hard for the flesh, but it was for their eternal good why he had sent this. I thought while you were singing, it dropped in very sweetly what the dear hymn writer said. When and whenever thou shalt smite, teach me to own thy sovereign right, and underneath the heaviest load, be still and know that I am God. You see, the Lord was to make them submissive under this smiting of his hand. And I want us help as we begin this evening, and I seek the Holy Spirit's divine leading in this, to look first, he hath smitten, and he will bind us up. We think of a few characters in God's word. First of all, you look at dear Jonah. Because of his disobedience to the Lord's command, how the Lord smote him, brought him right down into the depths of the sea in the fish's belly. But you look how he was given faith to believe in those depths of the sea, and in the depths in his soul's experience, the Lord would bind him up. And you look how the Lord wonderfully did it. What does he say? Some very precious words. We read them last evening. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. You look how he had to come into that place where no man could help him, so smitten by the Lord. But he could look again, couldn't he? Why? Because the Lord had given him living, vital faith to look. Wonderful thing the Lord gives his people, singleness of eye, you see, to look alone to him. He will hear. He will bind us up. And that's why Jonah cried unto his God like he did, believing the Lord would bind him up. And what did the Lord do? He caused the fish to vomit him out on dry land, didn't he? Not all the powers of the fish's belly could destroy him. Not all the powers of the sea. The great troubles that he was in, and yet the Lord was to bind him up amidst all his sin and backsliding and wandering from the Lord and his disobedience. It's a wonderful thing, you know. There are such characters named, isn't there, in the Word of God, because they're there for the teaching and encouragement and help of the Lord's dear children. How many times have you blessed the Lord for the case of Jonah that the Lord has recorded? He will bind us up. And it may be you're in something today and he's smitten you. It may be like Hezekiah. Let's just look at him a moment. You look how the Lord smote that dear man with deep affliction. He was under the smiting hand of God in the Assyrians that were trying to destroy him and the city. It wasn't just one trouble, you know. Sometimes there may be a mountain of troubles that come upon the child of God. They're smitten by them. But you know, in it all, dear Hezekiah was to prove what our text says. He will bind us up. And you look how wonderfully the Lord heard his cry. I love that prayer and often mention it of Hezekiah, but it's so real and so precious, isn't it, to many of God's dear people, when he said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And you know, when we are smitten by the Lord, that's what we need him to undertake for us, because no man can. He hath smitten. You've seen this, you experienced this. And that's how one felt 3 weeks ago in the hospital. He hath smitten. But you know, when I read this word in that hospital, you know, the Lord gave me that faith to believe, and it was from that very hour I started to get better. He will bind us up. Oh, the encouragement such a word will have to your poor soul. He will. And may this be a word, it may be you not only need it tonight, but the days to come. None of us know what he will put his hand upon us and smite us with. And he can do it in a moment. And there are those of us here who had to experience it, haven't we? when or whenever thou shalt smite, teach me to own thy sovereign right. But oh, you see, what we need is grace to be submissive, isn't it? Let's just go back to that word that I read in the hymn, be still and know that I am God. I will work, and who shall let him? He will. Oh, may the Holy Spirit so apply that to us here tonight. He will bind us up. You may say, well, it looks impossible. Hezekiah, in his case, it looked impossible, this great affliction upon him. The great troubles in his soul, you see, he was smitten by his sin, wasn't he? He was just like David in Psalm 51. And the Lord brings home his holy law into the sinner's heart. It smites them. It brings them in guilt. You think how the publican felt when the Lord smote him with all his sin. Oh, how he had to cry out, didn't he? And what did he cry for? For the Lord to bind him up. Let us just look at this binding up. He will bind you up, poor soul, with his everlasting love flowing into your soul. That'll bind you up. He'll put everything right. He'll remove all the pain and anguish of his smiting you. The application of his precious blood in our poor, sin-sick soul will bind us up. He did the publican, didn't he? He did the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. You look how the Lord bound her up with pardon and peace in her soul. How he said to her, all her sin was forgiven. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And look at it in Hezekiah's case. How the Lord wonderfully favoured him, didn't he? And you think of his song of deliverance, how the Lord wonderfully favoured him to be able to sing that sweet song. And he speaks, doesn't he, so beautifully of the Lord putting away all his sin. And what could he say in it all? He hath smitten. He will bind us up. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. And then listen. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And look at the sweet binding up. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The dear man knew what it was for the Lord to bind him up. Everything was put right in him, wasn't it? And then you look how the Lord bound him up and delivered him from all that host of the Assyrian army. They couldn't touch him. The deliverance was blessed. And look how the Lord wonderfully healed him. What did the Lord say to Isaiah? Go and say to Hezekiah, behold, I am the God of David thy father. I have heard thy prayer. Oh, if the Lord say that to you tonight, he'll bind you up, wouldn't he? From all this smiting of the Lord's hand. I am the God of David thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. He hath smitten. There was no doubt about it. They had been in it. They had experienced it. He hath smitten. And he will bind us up. So, to summarise just briefly on this, there was a blessed prospect before them, wasn't there? You know, the Lord set sweet, blessed prospects before his dear children. The professor of religion cannot understand them, but the real child of God will know what it is to sweetly experience them, and faith given to believe. He will bind them up, he will bless them. He hath smitten. But then, of course, there are other characters in God's word we could name. Dear old Jacob, you look at the times he was smitten, both in his soul, in his family, in the troubles of the journey. But you look how the Lord bound the dear man up and brought him up out of it. When he was faced with Esau, with those 400 men against him. In the famine too, look how the Lord bound them up. There was all the storehouses in Egypt to supply the need. You see, everything's in the Lord's hand. You know, we often forget that, don't we? We sing in the hymn, but how often do we really lay it to heart? All events at his command. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And you look how Jacob sweetly experienced the Lord binding him up and blessing him in that time when Esau sought to destroy him. And then think of him in the times of famine, and think of him when they came to take away Benjamin from him. What did he say? Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And now they've come to take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. He was under the smiting hand of God, wasn't he? But you look how the Lord bound him up and wonderfully delivered him. Brought him out of it all. And you go into chapter 45, I think that's a wonderful chapter of his deliverance. When he saw those wagons coming from Egypt. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. And I will go down into Egypt to see him before I die. He said, it is enough. His soul was full. And look how the Lord bound him up. Look at him down in Egypt. There in the land of Goshen. And he could look back right through his life, couldn't he? And see how the Lord had fulfilled what's in our text. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten. He will bind us up. But what I want to come to, you may have wondered why we read Isaiah 53. It's been with me so much since I left the subject this morning. The dear Lord Jesus himself. You know, I believe, and I don't want to read further into this word than the Holy Spirit would permit us, but I believe this, that these dear people had a little glimpse, as they were smitten, of their dear Redeemer being smitten because of their sin. You think of Isaiah 53. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Smitten, stricken and afflicted. Oh, the precious Son of God, may we have a glimpse by faith this evening. I believe they did as they looked forward, how he was to be smitten, but how he was to be bound up. And he says here, he has smitten. And you think of those great afflictions, the smiting hand of God upon him, as he bore the sins of his dear people, his dear bride, you and me if we're among. Smitten for our transgressions. Oh, you think how he bore all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare, and how he was smitten by the hidings of his beloved Father's face, when he bore all those sins of his dear people, those past, those present, those to come. And may we be given a grain of faith to view tonight how he was smitten. Some of you may feel as the smiting hand of the Lord is upon you, you feel it's going to destroy you, it's going to crush you. But you consider, and may we be given faith to, the dear Redeemer, how he was smitten in a far greater way than ever we shall know. Smitten, stricken, and afflicted. That's what the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning the dear Redeemer. And oh, may we be led to view, you know, it's the most blessed chapter, isn't it? I used to think in my early days why some of the old ministers so often read Isaiah 53, and I couldn't understand it in my carnal, unregenerate state. But you know, when the Lord Jesus has revealed to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, suffering in our room, place and stead, faith is drawn to Isaiah 53. Oh, it is. In it are some beautiful things, you know, of what he endured. We sing in the hymn, don't we? What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. But oh, think of when he uttered those words, it is finished. Salvation's work was done. And oh, think of that blessed, I want to come to it in a moment, in that second verse, he will bind us up. He will bind us up. And dear Mary Magdalene was to prove it after the resurrection, wasn't she? Oh, I love that dear woman. Oh, how she wept there. I'm feeling the smiting hand of the Lord. They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Oh, the distress she was in. Felt to be smitten, didn't she? By what had taken place. But you know, he was to bind her up, wasn't he? The dear Redeemer. A risen Christ. He only had to speak one word to her, didn't he? Mary. You know, one word from the Saviour in your poor soul and mine will bind us up in a moment. It'll bring us right up, and you look how it did with her. And look how faith immediately responded. She wanted to embrace the dear Redeemer, Master. He says, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended unto my Father, but listen to the language, and your Father, and to my God and your God. The dear soul was brought right up under from the smiting hand of the Lord into sweet liberty and peace and blessing. Oh, she was. Well, I want to come to this second verse. This was so real on that Lord's Day morning to me, after 2 days. Will he revive us? Now, poor soul, are you in something you need reviving in this evening? He will revive us. She believed it. The dear Church of God here in Hosea's day says, after 2 days, he will revive us. She believed he would. David had the same sweet experience, you know. When, in the depths of sorrow, in Psalm 42 and 43, as he looks within his heart, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. In other words, he believed the Lord would revive him. He says, I will yet praise him. There will be this blessed reviving. Some of you may feel so often so dead and cold, and we do, don't we, and lifeless. What we need is a reviving. Now, it's often prayed that the Lord would revive Zion, build up the churches. Where is it to begin? It'll begin in the hearts of God's dear people. That gracious reviving. After 2 days, he will revive us. He will revive us. There's a good prayer in that 85th Psalm, I think it is. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? You know, we need the Lord to revive those blessings that we've had in days past, don't we? We can look back tonight of a few times where the Lord has so blessed us. We're lifted above all the sorrows of the way, above this earth. Oh, do we not need a reviving of that? And then think of the sweet promises the Lord gives his dear people. You know, he can revive them in your poor heart in a moment. I remember the late Mr. C.A. Wood, Mr. Clement Wood's mother. I remember going to her baptizing many years ago now. And, you know, that dear woman was blessed in her early days with a wonderful promise from the Lord. I can't remember what it was now, but I remember at the time she was so blessed in her early days. And then she had to come into deep affliction when she was in middle life. And in the hospital she was so concerned about her soul and the affliction she was in. And the Lord spoke that word of promise again to her, that he would be with her and would take away all her fears. And when the Lord spoke it again to her, she said it was just as he spoke it that first time in her early days. The reviving of the promise, you see. And the Lord alone, by his blessed spirit, can do this in your poor heart and bring again the blessing. What do we sing in the hymn? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul's refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And you know, that dear soul was so blessed in that hospital. And then when she came toward the close of her life, and she had the deep affliction of cancer come upon her, and in that, the Lord, you know, in her low place, spoke it again to her, that same sacred promise, and he revived it so in her soul that she was just full And you see, in the closing days of her life, she had to go and tell the king's household what the Lord had done over all those years and how he'd revived the promise and fulfilled it in every jot and tittle. And you know, she was baptized on the Friday, and when she saw the doctors on that Saturday, they told her that no water should touch her body. And the day before, she'd been immersed in that water of baptism. She sat at one Lord's Supper, and the Lord took her home to glory. The vital thing was here, you see, that wonderful reviving. After 2 days, he will revive us. Some of you may say, oh, but it's many years, like it was with the dear woman. But he can revive you, poor soul. It's a very wonderful thing, you know, yet it's very searching. It says after 2 days, 1,000 years in his sight as but yesterday when it is past. One day, you say, in the Lord's sight can be as 1,000 years. He will revive us. And oh, may there be that gracious reviving in your soul and in mine. And he can revive our bodies. And I thought on that Lord's day, you see, morning after 2 days, he will revive us. And then we find in the third day he will raise us up. And in that third day I made a wonderful recovery. He will raise us up. And you see, on that Monday I was like a different man, really. Raised up. And it's all the Lord's work. We know the doctors did all in their power, but you see, the means was in the Lord's hand. And some of you here have been brought from the great gates of the grave and he has raised you up. But I want to look at it in a few ways just briefly before we leave it. There's many aspects to this. First of all, the two occasions here, he says after 2 days, will he revive us? And the third day he will raise us up. And some of the old divines used to speak of it, of the places the children of Israel came into. The first day being the day when they were in Egypt, in bondage. The Lord, what did he do? He raised them up, he brought them out of it. And then when they were in the captivity in Babylon, who was it that was to raise them up and bring them up out of it the second day? It was the Lord's blessed work. He was to bring them out. You think of it. How he said, didn't he? He would bring them out and turn the captivity as the streams in the south. And he brought them out. What about the third day? In their experience, they were to view the glorious day of the coming of Christ. You think of those 3 days and 3 experiences and the blessed third day. They were to be raised up, what for? The dear Redeemer was to do it by coming into this earth. But that leads me, and that's why we read together the 28th chapter in Matthew. And you look at that glorious third day. Well, before I name it, just go back to Jonah. Where was Jonah for 3 days? The Holy Scripture tells us he was in the fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Who was to raise him up out of that fish's belly? It was the Lord himself. And as Christ was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, so he was to rise on that third day. So we have here, and this is what was so sweet to me in the hospital, resurrection power. And this text, you know, as the Holy Spirit sweetly sealed it in my heart, after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. And you look as Christ was raised up on that third day. Not all the powers of death or of the grave could hold him. And all the grip of Satan could not keep him in that grave. All the stone, the great stone they rolled to the sepulchre could hold him. It was rolled away. And oh, may we know in our souls tonight that blessed resurrection power. Well could the Apostle Paul say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we need that right the way through our lives, don't we? Well, I do. I'll leave the other with you. Continual resurrection power. He can raise the soul as it did Jonah out of the depths of hell. He felt to be in the belly of hell. Resurrection power raised him out of it all. And as the dear Redeemer rose, so will his dear people. Of course, there will be that great arising at the last day when the dear Redeemer comes again. I noticed Dr. Gill said that there would be the 3 millenniums. We're in the second. And you know, it brought solemn thoughts to me, you know. None of us know when the Lord will come again, but you see, after 3 days, and you could look as 1,000 years in the Lord's sight, or as yesterday when it is past. We are in the second millennium. The third day, he will raise us up. The third day will be the coming of the glorious Redeemer to take his dear redeemed children to glory. None of us know when that day will come. But oh, to be, I've looked at the graveyard at the Dicker where there's over 1,400 buried, and there's no doubt there's some very precious souls lay under that earth. A 142 children under 2. And you know, each one will rise on that resurrection morn, either to eternal bliss or to eternal damnation. But you know, there's some precious dust that will rise, and what a glorious day that'll be, won't it? The third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live. Oh, eternal life, you see, is set before his dear redeemed children. I give unto them, the Saviour said, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And just a brief word, and I must leave it, the time's gone, but we haven't got very far, really. And we shall live. Just one or two things. Firstly, how are you going to live? Are you going to live like the world and the ungodly and live in sin? Or are we going to live the life of a real child of God? You know, many sermons could be preached on this, and we shall live in his sight. Think about our souls, that we might live in his sight, live to his honour, live to his glory, live to follow him, live to hear his voice. Live that we might praise his holy name like dear Hezekiah was in Ableton. We sung, didn't we, that beautiful hymn just now. It's one of my favourite hymns. His loving kindness. Oh, how great. And to live to his eternal praise. What did Hezekiah say in his song of deliverance? The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. You know, really, the child of God lives to praise him. What did the psalmist say? Let my soul live that I might praise thy holy name. And to live near the dear Redeemer. Live leaning upon his breast. Live in sweet communion with him. And what are these? Their tastes of heaven begun below. We shall live in his sight, under his blessed eye, under the shadow of his wings, under his eternal love. Well, so we may go on. But may the Holy Spirit, I've only scratched around the surface of this today. May the Holy Spirit convey the reality of it into each of our souls. This beautiful word, come. Let us, it might be so concerning each of us here tonight. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and so of you can look back and you can see this. You've known it. But he hasn't left you there, has he? He will heal us. He hath smitten. And that is so true, isn't it? And he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and faith will believe that. In the third day, he will raise us up. Why? And we shall live in his sight, to his eternal praise. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £640, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with address by our friend Mr. Field. There'll be Thanksgiving services next Saturday when Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach, and the collections will be for the Oakington Building Fund, and Mr. Buss is also expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. 667.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Oh, do bless thy word to our souls. We do need thee to apply it with divine power. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. But Lord, do take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. We thank thee for strengthening us, helping us through. We would give thee all the glory. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.